This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
On a back-to-back, the Nuggets did it again. They beat Dallas 118-109. They're going to have a problem, though, and I'm going to talk about that. Good problem, but a problem nonetheless. Wyoming last night caught my attention. They were hosting San Diego State. It was a peculiar spread. There was a funny moment before that game, and then the rest of the game was pretty bad for the Cowboys. Broncos, Bills, we continue. We're getting closer, Mike. In the NCAA, we have some news, and it's not good. The whole show starts now. Yesterday, the Nuggets do it again. I figured for sure, though, Aaron Gordon would sit out this game. Thought maybe Jamal Murray, who's been battling an illness, would sit out this game. And this would be a... And Dallas isn't very good. And they ended up, you know, at the end of this one, not just the loss, but Cooper Flagg goes down with an injury. So they lost a lot more. But I just... Maybe I should stop... Not expecting really good things from this team. The Nuggets are now 6-3 without the Joker. And it is amazing to see all of these guys stepping up in ways we haven't seen before. I mean, look at this stat, man. Before Joker went down, Peyton Watson was averaging 9 points a game. Since Joker went down, he's averaging 24. Jalen Pickett was averaging 3 points a game. Since Joker went down, now he's 11.6, almost 12. Zeke Nnaji was averaging 2.3 points per game, now averaging 10. Now, again, the obvious answer is, okay, they're getting more minutes, but that didn't always mean something for Denver when they were shorthanded under Michael Malone. And I'm trying to be very professional here because I don't want to be the guy that's like, hey, I loved Michael Malone while he was here, now he's gone, and oh, he was the problem. I can't ignore what I'm watching every night. This team has an identity without Joker. Now, when Joker gets back, it's going to be... It should be really fascinating. And he is resuming drills and mini practices, kind of. So it won't be that long until Joker gets back. Then you have to rework because Christian Brown... had a setback in his injury. He'll be back at some point. Cam Johnson will be back at some point. And you got to rework this roster. But for now, I was just really hoping that Denver could stay right around the 500 mark after Joker. But 6-3, man. I mean, what more can you say? And they beat a good Toronto team, Philadelphia in overtime. They beat Boston. Pretty good, even without Tatum. They beat Milwaukee, they beat New Orleans, and they beat Dallas on a back-to-back, New Orleans and Dallas. They're sitting at 28-13, and where we thought there might be a pretty significant drop-off for Denver, they are currently the number 2 seed in the Western Conference, 6 games behind the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's impressive. It's impressive that Zeke Nnaji's trade stock has gone up. It's impressive that Jalen Pickett's trade stock has gone up. And certainly impressive that Peyton Watson, who was named the Western Conference Player of the Week last week, is becoming a household name in the NBA. But there lies the mini problem here that you have. Denver has said once they got out of the apron by trading Michael Porter Jr. and acquiring Cam Johnson, didn't act like they were too interested in messing with that life again. And I'm not going to pretend to know. I've tried the apron stuff. I just know it's not good to be in the first apron, and it's damn sure not good to be in the second apron. And they're under both right now. Next year, they would be over the first apron because Christian Brown's contract kicks in, and then dangerously close to the second. So the first thought is, how could they re-sign Peyton Watson, who's playing great basketball right now? Had 18 points last night. He's becoming a guaranteed 18, 20, 22 points kind of guy. He was averaging 9.7 points before Joker. He's now averaging 13.8 in the season. But since Joker went out, he's averaged 24. And that is a phenomenal stat line. But the problem is, he's probably going to be a 20-some million-dollar guy. With every game that he does this, it just gets more unlikely. The better he is, which is better for the Nuggets, it does make me believe he's not long for the Nuggets unless they can do some really fancy feet moves. I mean, Christian Brown is making, next year he'll be at 21.5. You have to imagine that Watson will be in that range, if not maybe a little more. And they can't do it. The math doesn't math unless they just suck it up and say, yeah, screw it. We're in this championship window. As long as Joker is on this team, let's make a big deal here. But I'll be curious once this team does start getting healthy, because here's when you get into the playoffs, the depth and all that is still important, but typically teams go with like 3-4 deep. And assuming this team is 100% healthy when they get to the playoffs, it's going to look like this. It's going to be Jamal Murray, Christian Brown, Cam Johnson, Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic. Off the bench first, in no particular order, would be Bruce Brown, Tim Hardaway Jr., Peyton Watson, and Jonas Valanciunas. Where does Jalen Pickett fit? Where does Zeke Nnaji fit? And Zeke, I don't think he fits once they get their guys back. The obvious one is, can you move his contract? Because next year he's at $7.4 million. And then the following year, he has a player option, so he could pick that up and stay. Is there a team out there that would be willing to take a two-year deal with Zeke paying him $7.4, $7.5 million? But that still doesn't free up enough room. You know, if you're just looking around at the aprons, and I don't know what that's going to look like, you know, next year, it changes. But as far as the 25-26 apron tracker for Denver, they're slightly under it because the first apron is $195 million. The second apron is $207 million. Denver is at $193 million, so they're under that. But if you fast forward to next season, the 26-27 year, the first apron is $195 million, $207 million. I don't know if that changes, but it could, and then you would have some pretty significant issues there for Denver, who would be sitting at $221 million, which would be over the second apron. And it's not good. Messes with trades and certain contracts and waivers, and I've given up trying to understand it. I just know it's not good. And it does keep – the idea is to keep teams from stacking great players and then going out and just acquiring big names so you can get your big three plus more. It was supposed to incentivize teams to take care of their drafted guys. Well, this would be Peyton Watson. But it doesn't look likely right now. So with every game we watch Peyton Watson grow and get better, it does present a problem. Now, they can't trade Christian Brown because they just re-signed him. And it is a six-month waiting period, and the draft is coming, or the trade deadline is coming up, and that will be inside the six-month window. It was the same as the situation last year for Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray, because they had just signed their contract extensions, so they were untradeable last year before the trade deadline. Now, if you could trade Christian Brown, sign me up. I would trade Christian Brown today to make room for Peyton Watson. Because here's the other thing, folks. Jalen Pickett could slide into that number two role. And you could still keep Tim Hardaway Jr. off the bench. This isn't like an I'm out on Christian Brown, but let's face it. Even when healthy, he wasn't living up to that contract extension. He could get better. We'll see. Cam Johnson's another one. Now, he's only got the one, you know, this year, obviously, and the next year under contract with Denver. He's at $23 million next year. But the question is, can you trade him? Can you dump that contract? Who's taking that contract? Because Cam, before his injury, wasn't playing particularly well, had his moments, but overall, I wouldn't say it was fantastic. Yes, Denver is deeper with the Michael Porter Jr. trade. That is not a knock on that move. That move was the right move. MPJ is living his best life, and he's killing it right now, and that's great for him. On a bad team, he might get traded. There's a lot of discussions around. I've seen things. I've seen Michael Porter Jr. linked to Golden State. That one's interesting, too. But that's a side note. No, I don't disagree with any of the moves Denver made. They had to make that move. They got deeper because of it. And a guy like Tim Hardaway Jr. has been very important for Denver. And being able to keep him on the bench and coming off the bench while Jalen Pickett is another one. His game is just growing. The confidence every single game. So what do you do, though, when all guys are healthy again? Because you're not going to find much room for Pickett. He's not going to be there. And you're not going to find much. You're not going to find any room for Zeke Nagy. And that's an issue. That's certainly, I mean, these are good players that are bringing up their trade stock. Has Zeke Nagy done enough for a team to want to move on or want to absorb that contract so the Nuggets can move on? And it's still not enough to keep Peyton Watson. And so then here's the other question. When all these guys are healthy, Watson's numbers and production most certainly are going to go down. He's not going to play 31 minutes a night. He's not going to start. Do you trade him for another piece that you think you might be missing? And I don't know that they are missing a piece right now. I mean, I would personally, it seems, and I tend to get lost in this, though, when they're playing good basketball. It's hard for me to want to break anything up. But do you really want Peyton Watson just to walk in the offseason and you get nothing for him? But those are all just questions. If you can't trade Cam Johnson and you can't trade Zeke Nagy and make room for a re-sign of Peyton Watson, which I guess could happen, knowing that Watson's gone, how much do you think he impacts, knowing that he's gone in the offseason, how much do you think he would impact their championship opportunity, their championship chances this year based on how he's played in the last month? You would say, yeah, he's a big reason. He's certainly a big reason why they're sitting at number two while Joker is out. He's been a big reason, maybe the biggest reason, even though Jamal Murray is playing at an all-star level. Do you consider trading Watson before the trade deadline to get something in return? I don't think so. If you can't find suitors for Cam Johnson and Zeke Nagy, then you just stay the course. And you ride it out, and you hope you can work something out in the offseason, or you take that risk of getting into the second apron and you're penalized severely. But if you believe this is your championship window, with Joker and Gordon and Jamal playing his best basketball, then that's a risk you might be willing to take. You know, you sacrifice the future for the present kind of thing. You know, John Elway's, we're not worried about plan B, we're worried about plan A. Eastside Chris Brady, I was wondering if Christian could go also. No, he couldn't. You can't trade him because he just signed his contract extension, and you can't trade a newly signed veteran player until after the six-month mark, which would fall outside of the trade deadline. You could trade him in the offseason, then try to make room for Watson. You also have to be sure Watson's going to stay, and I can't imagine he wouldn't want to stay if he could make that the money that he's going to demand on the market. But that's a little bit of a risk you'd have to play. Hey, you know, hey, if we trade Brown and we're able to free up enough room to get you to the number you want, which could be 20 or 25, are you signing that? And those are big questions in the offseason. So it's all possible. It's just how confident are you? Just signed Brown. So have you quickly lost that? Has the luster, has Christian Brown lost his luster a bit in the eyes of Tenzer and Wallace? That's a tough one because you believed in him for a reason, and then he gets hurt. So then he never really got going. Then he gets hurt. It's been a weird year right after signing that contract extension. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me is I'm gonna go Jamal Murray, 33 points, 5 assists, continues to play like an all-star, and we might finally see a current all-star that isn't Nikola Jokic. Well, he should make it still, but aside from Joker, he has never had an active all-star on his team. Now, Russell Westbrook last year, but he wasn't an active all-star. He's been in an all-star game. Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, they haven't made one. Gordon was close, but this has got to be the year. So, Jamal is playing outstanding basketball. This is the guy I always thought he could be. The bad for me, watching this Wyoming Cowboys game last night, I was watching that off and on right before the Nuggets started up. And I was kind of like buying in. I was like, okay, Wyoming might be pretty good. Sundance Wicks has got something cooking there. And then they just... I was confused by that point spread. I think San Diego State was like a one-point favorite. Even though it was in Wyoming, I get that. But I think the Aztecs are really freaking good. But they win 74-57. The ugly for me, and we'll spend some time on this later on in top stories of the day. The NCAA, man. Now you got the Power Four conferences talking about doing their own thing. Basically the SEC going to govern itself. The Big Ten governs itself. All that 23 minutes after the hour. We'll get into more of that throughout the show today. Kevin Lytle's going to join me for the first time in the new year. He was under the weather last week, and we were kind of off and on during the holiday stretch. So excited to bring Kevin back in here. We'll talk CSU hoops, injury updates from them. The football side of things will obviously update you on all things transfer portal news for Colorado State and more with Kevin Lytle later on in the program. UNC's got a big one tonight against Portland State, maybe the best team in the Big Sky Conference. Can the Bears kind of shake off a rocky start to Big Sky Conference play? So we'll get into all that and more. This is the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Are in the playoffs, and we have the games and talk you need. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's just exciting to see how David Adelman has coached his team, and I couldn't tell you what the difference is other than trusting the guys. I think there's dudes on this roster at times, Pickett, even Watson. They make mistakes, and instead of rage timeouts and pulling a guy after said mistake. You let him work through it a little bit. I mean, there, listen, man, David Adelman's a student of the game. There's a complex reason as to why Adelman is getting the most out of this roster right now, with Joker down, with Brown down, with Cam down, and with Aaron Gordon kind of easing back in. There's a reason why. But one of those, I do think, is the belief in this team. He's an incredibly smart guy with an extremely extensive basketball resume. But there is a difference. Michael Malone, for years, had a hard time playing young players. Most of the time. Now, again, to be fair, Adelman kind of has to play these guys. But they have to produce. And we haven't always seen that. Jalen Pickett hasn't played this well in his career. Peyton Watson hasn't played this well in his career. Zeke Nagy hasn't played this well in his career. And there were times when Malone had no choice and had to play those guys when they had injuries. But he was always married to veterans, you know? I'll tell you right now. If Michael Malone's coaching that game, and Tim Hardaway Jr.'s not on this team, Russell Westbrook's still on this team, Westbrook is starting over Jalen Pickett, and Pickett's coming off the bench. Guaranteed. Because Malone always went with the veterans first. He always trusted those guys. He was going for the now. The problem with that is you're not developing your young players. And that's where that rift began between Michael Malone and Calvin Booth. Booth is drafting these guys. And, I mean, even last year, there were games where we just didn't really see Peyton Watson. You just suddenly you look up and, oh, he only played 4 minutes tonight. He only played 7 minutes tonight. That's not the situation going on at all with David Adelman, even before the injuries started to go down. Because we were seeing Jalen Pickett play somewhat meaningful minutes for this team. I mean, even before Joker goes down, so you go back into December, he's still playing. You know, he's playing 16 minutes, 25 minutes, 24 minutes, 22. They played enough where their confidence was building up so that when this did happen, it wasn't a drastic change. Bam, you're going to go from playing, you know, an average of 2 minutes a game to now you're going to play 20, 30 minutes a game. Jalen Pickett was averaging 16.1 minutes per game in the month of December. Joker goes down on the 29th, so it wasn't that big of a change. But you have to be excited about what Adelman's done with this team. And I try not to knock Michael Malone, but that was always the thing. For better or worse, he's going to put all of his trust into the veteran. He's going to put all of his eggs in that basket. And the second a younger player makes a mistake, he's out. He has to do something really significant to earn his way back in. Watching game coverage last night, the ESPN's post game talking a little bit about the Nuggets and how Peyton Watson's gone off, they panned to Michael Malone. He looks sick to his stomach. It's just like all these dudes that he refused to play are keeping Denver deep in the playoff conversation as far as number two seed right now while Joker's out. And I just don't know if Malone. I had Mr. Dempsey on, Chris Dempsey. We'll see if we can get him on tomorrow. Talk to us a little bit about that. And he kind of hesitated to say that, you know, Malone wouldn't have done any better. And I get that, man. I'm trying not to be that guy either. I don't want to be the guy that loves a coach while he's here and then he's gone and let's rip him up. But when you see what I'm seeing, you go, that wasn't happened. There was no identity when Joker was out. You remember Jokerless minutes? That was under Michael Malone, guys. They've had a lot of Jokerless minutes now, and they're 6-3. They couldn't win the minutes he was out, let alone an entire game that he's out, let alone an entire month. And they're 6-3. So, yes, yeah, something is different. David Adelman, in his official first year as coach, has been exceptional. And this team has an identity when Joker's not on the floor. And a lot of that is because Jamal Murray is playing like an all-star. There's always been a question. Who is Jamal without Joker? And he's answering that question for us right now. Who is Jamal with or without Joker? He's an all-star. Because his play, his production, hasn't dipped at all since his partner in crime went out. 34 minutes after the hour. Michael, here we go. Big game coming up Monday night. So they're doing a fun thing to kind of... Now, Coach Steve Smiley for UNC got his 100th win a week ago, last Thursday night. And the Bears are doing a fun thing on Monday as they play host to a Montana State. They typically don't play on Mondays, but this is a unique situation. They're playing a tough team in Montana State that beat them last time around. They want to fill Bank of Colorado. And I'm telling you guys, enjoy this while you can. Appreciate what you have. Steve Smiley is a tremendous coach, and I do think the Bears will start to recover from a rocky start in the Big Sky. But we've got tons of tickets that we're giving away because we want Bank of Colorado Arena absolutely packed. I've got a four-pack for this game on Monday night, January 19th at 6 o'clock. Go see the Bears and Montana State go at it. Big, big conference battle. They're happening right here in Greeley. Let's give those tickets away. Four tickets right now to caller number six on the First Advantage hotline. Caller number six, 970-353-1310. That's caller number six. You got a four-pack of tickets to go see UNC on Monday night, 970-353-1310. 35 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, more from this, I don't know, this get-together in the NCAA between, commissioners and athletic directors, I suppose, of these conferences. And it is a mess, Mike. It's not gotten any better. Yesterday, the big thing we talked about was, oh, okay, they're going to change the whole minimum amount of games you can play in order to keep your redshirt year, if you know, assuming your first year, whatever, from 4 to 9. So that was the big one that they went over. But this is, so it was an annual gathering, leaders from the NCAA, all over the FBS. And most notably here, as Ross Dellinger pointed out in Yahoo Sports, Ross Dellinger is amazing. He's on this stuff every day. Most notably, of course, on hand was the four power conferences. And they're wanting more change to the governance and enforcement of college athletics, in particular football. Trying to figure out how to stop tampering, what to do about the current schedule of transfer portal, what to do about the transfer portal, what to do about NIL, what to do about contracts. Power conferences, according to Ross Dellinger, are getting more and more frustrated with the NCAA and their lack of enforcement from the NCAA and the College Sports Commission, Michael, the CSC. They're supposed to dive in on NIL deals and determine whether or not those are legitimate, whether or not those are being used to entice a player to go somewhere or to enter the transfer portal. But that's like... Seriously, Mike, it's like the Office Space, you know? Again, it's what would you say you do here? They're not doing anything. And I think these conferences are getting more and more frustrated. Georgia president Jer Moorhead, former chair of the NCAA D1 Board of Directors, told Yahoo Sports earlier this month, if the CSC is not going to enforce the House settlement, if the NCAA is not going to enforce tampering rules, and if Congress is not going to pass the SCORE Act, then it leaves the SEC in a position that we have to go our own way to create some rules and a level of responsibility. we'd be able to make a much stronger argument that we are not in violation of antitrust rules because we don't have market power. I mean, they're so frustrated. It's not just the SEC. A lot of conferences are talking about this, of saying, hey, if we're not going to fix these things that are clearly happening and no one is doing anything about it, and the players are just getting illegally contacted and then entering the portal and getting a fat bag of cash for their efforts, and you're just going to sit back. Like, Mike, there's no reason Jordan Seaton should have entered the transfer portal that late. Other than somebody reached out to him that shouldn't have reached out to him because he was technically still a Buff. And even Brian Howell believes this, that somebody got to him and said, hey, here's $4 million. It's going to be out there for you if you enter the portal. That's not supposed to happen, but it is. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, did caution the idea of breaking away. And he says we can't rush into something like the fact that we're having these conversations, though, is kind of terrifying for every college football fan. Sankey did say the SEC remains committed to a national organization, but he said there are limits to that. The frustration level is building. I anticipate that there's a lot of people that are saying this might not work for us. One person there spoke anonymously and said, we are money laundering. That's what we're seeing right now. Money laundering. Basically, when you have these NIL deals and you say roster budgets are around 20.5 million cap, meant for all athletes within a university, most big brand footballs we're seeing are estimating they're exceeding 25 million. Salary cap 20.5. Most big brand football programs, according to Yahoo Sports, are exceeding 25 million. Now, that's collectives and boosters, Mike. Multimedia rights partners, Learfield comes into play here, apparel brands. And the CSC has to approve these. And NIL Go, I wrote that one down. There's so many different things. University administrators are guaranteeing the cash to athletes before they reach the point of being cleared. So even before the CSC steps in, schools are saying to a kid, yeah, we're over the salary cap, but we got $5 million waiting for you if you come to our school. That's before the CSC actually steps in and looks into this. What is that $4 million from? That's from Bob's Car Wash. And that's $4 million? What is he doing for you for $4 million? It's my business. He's doing autographs. And that's, to me, that's worth $4 million. And that's absolutely what, that is a form of money laundering. A Big Ten school administrator said, we are money laundering. All we are doing right now is moving money around. Now, the NFL does this. Patrick Mahomes on State Farm, that's an NIL deal. That's a name, image, and likeness deal that his agent went out and worked with State Farm and got. But the difference, two very big differences. That wasn't used to get him to Kansas City or re-sign with Kansas City. He could do State Farm anywhere. And he's under contract. So the Bills can't, let me use a different team. The Dolphins can't come in and say, Mahomes, you're making a lot of money. We can double that with these endorsement deals. Well, it's the NFL and he's under contract. So they can't do those kind of things. Yeah, there's probably a little bit of tampering. Like Jerry Jones talking to Adrian Peterson years ago while he was still under contract saying, we'd love to see you as a Cowboy. That's tampering. But at the end of the day, Minnesota's protected by the contract. Peterson could say, I want to be traded, but Minnesota could say, no. Or give us first-round picks for you, and then we'll do it. They get compensated somehow. So this thing, Mike, is getting crazier and crazier. There was an interview, I was watching some of this podcast, it's in Ohio, the Tim and Beanie Show Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjork said college leaders need to seriously consider no longer restricting the money. He's saying go all in, go opposite, as it results in rule-breaking and legal challenges. He suggests that the $20.5 million cap figure is no longer enough. He just said, should we make it wide open, an open market, money everywhere? There's no Mike, what are we doing with the salary cap, man? It's not real. That's a dotted line. Sankey was on an interview with Yahoo Sports, specifically talking about his dissatisfaction toward the NCAA for their inconsistencies in eligibility waiver rulings. And that add more frustration and confusion among coaches. It is a monster pile of doo-doo right now. And the only way you can try to fix this is, which is the NCAA is terrified of this, is making them paid employees. And they don't want to do that. Because that opens up unions, and then it opens up, do they really deserve scholarships? And now we got to work on that. It's just a lot of work, man. To change the fabric of an organization like that, there's a lot to that. It's not as easy as I make it sound sometimes. But regardless, they've got to find a way to get there. I mean, Sankey said, I'm mystified, quote, mystified, why there is a lack of clarity over the responsibility for tampering. That is the responsibility for the NCAA to oversee. Michael, why is no one looking into Jordan Seaton entering the transfer portal? And that's just one name because it's local. A guy enters the portal, we need to figure out why you entered the portal. Why so late? What changed your mind? How is that not something we can ask a player? What changed your mind? Money? I mean, he went on to make a video that's like, I got to take care of my mom. I want her to have a gigantic house, and I ain't stopping until that happens. Okay. So somebody got to you and told you there's more money. That's against the rules. And the team that he goes to, I would be investigating. And this isn't just Jordan Seaton. I'm just using that as the example. This is league-wide. Why are we not investigating all of these players? Now, they're trying, I guess. The NCAA says its enforcement team has processed about 95 tampering cases thus far this year. It is the 15th of January. 95 tampering cases. But I don't know what's come of that. It's crazy. So we'll get into some of this a little bit later on. Kevin Lytle will join us too. I'm sure we'll talk some college sports with him. Top stories of the day right around the corner. Broncos, Bills, we're getting closer. How are we feeling about this Broncos game compared to yesterday? Because yesterday I was a little shaky. Still, I'm sticking with it. The Broncos will go as far as Bo Nix will take them. It's the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
Will the defense carry the Broncos all the way, or will someone else rise to the occasion? Hear Broncos games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Mike, how you doing, man? You doing okay? Because I think people are worried. You know, I was looking for a new producer yesterday, and you look like somebody killed your cat this morning, man.
I think somebody killed my back.
Yeah. Your back hurts, and your head hurts, and your neck hurts, man. I'm sorry that you have something literally every day that is hurting you.
Yeah, my body is. Body was not designed well.
You gotta eat right, man. Every time I look at you, you're eating a peanut butter quesadilla, and you're taking cat naps throughout the day. You gotta sleep right. You gotta eat right.
I tried to sleep right. I got home and I went to bed, and it just
cat naps, and no more pizza and with peanut butter slathered all over it. Or whatever it is, and your 472
lathered all
472 Mountain Dews that you're drinking every single day.
I have two tops.
You have what?
Two Mountain Dews
a day.
Tops, no more than two a day.
Yeah, still.
Occasionally, I'll have three.
You don't think any of that stuff is the reason why it looks like you're ready to phone a friend? Phone it in, maybe?
My body's always been like, even when I was forced to eat healthy when I was a kid, mm-hmm. my body was just built wrong.
We're going to have to force you to eat healthy again. We're going to talk to dude down the hall, get you right.
That'll send me into a fit of depression.
What's different from right now? Top stories of the day coming up next. Kevin Lytle going to join us in the final hour of the show, also by herself. Broncos, Bills. Can the Broncos get this thing done on Saturday? Get into the AFC Championship. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.